Good morning.
If you happen to have a bulletin, I would like for you to get it out. And if you didn't happen to fill out the visitor card or the prayer request, you might fold it where you have access to it and reach out to the front of your pew and see if you can find a pen and a pencil. Because I'm going to turn your thoughts back to those days in which you were in school and you heard that teacher come in to your surprise and give those dreaded words, pop test, question number one, where in the Bible does it tell how a man wipes dishes?
You mean you don't know that?
Over in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 21, verse 13, and I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Question number two, and you may know this, who took off his shoe or sandal in order to bind a contract? The answer is Boaz, and it's found over in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal and said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Take off your shoe and hand it to the person. It might be easier to sign in a contract. Question number three, how you doing? Who warned his son to be wary of women's eyelids? Now, you don't know that. Solomon said that over in Proverbs 6:25. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Your mind's imagining lots of things, I'm sure. Now, here's one you will know the answer to, perhaps. Who fell asleep during a long sermon, and it's not fair for you to put in your own name? The answer is found over in the book of Acts in chapter 20, verse 9. The answer is Eutychus. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. I didn't read you the part. He did preach till midnight. So be careful that you don't fall out of the pew. Now here's one that's interesting. But you'd have to have the King James Version to get an answer here that is correct. At what did God wink at? It's interesting. It's found over in the book of Acts in chapter 17, verse 30. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All right, question number six. Is the book of Hezekiah in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Trick question. There is no book of Hezekiah. See, you had a 50-50 chance and you were wrong. All right, so here's the extra credit question. If you get this right, you can subtract two wrong answers. It is tricky. When was tennis played in Bible times? When Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. Found over in the book of Genesis in chapter 41, kind of inferred in verses 38 through 46. So how'd you do? I'm not going to ask that, because oftentimes after the teacher gave you that quiz, he or she would stand up and say, I just wanted to tell you that this test is not going to be graded. And everyone in the class gave a sigh of relief. Had you had that prayer request tab off of your bulletin when you were young and in class, I suspect the vast majority of students would have put down, God help me with this test, I'm about to take. Grades are kind of a funny thing. They're even talking about grades today as to whether or not the SAT is something that ought to be considered for your college entrance. Is it really a mark of how we're doing? Is it really a mark of what we've learned? I mean, you go back and look at transcripts from my high school and my college, and they can tell you what my grades are, but they don't really tell you whether or not I learned anything that is useful. And that's the case with every report card. You ever go to the doctor? You sit in the lobby for a long period of time, and eventually you end up in the exam room, and you're still sitting, so you're getting impatient. So you begin to go around, and you look at all the things. Maybe you pull out some of the tongue depressors and play with them a little bit, or mess around with the cotton balls. And every now and then, if you turn around and you look on the wall, you're going to see a diploma. So-and-so graduated from such-and-such college. I've often looked at those diplomas, and I wondered, how did he or she do in college? Is the person that's coming in to talk to me an A-plus student or a C-minus student? What kind of grade does it take in order you to pass and become a doctor? And I don't care whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or anyone that's dealing with you in a very important matter. Your hope is that they know what they're doing. You hope that they can at least find the answer to your questions and they're not a D or an F student and somehow still ended up with a diploma on the wall. Well, one day there was a Sunday school teacher who stood up before her little class and she said, does any one of you know where you can find the Beatitudes? One little boy in the back said, have you Googled it up? We got to be able to find the answer to things, and now Google may be the answer to many of those things. So whether we debate over the difference between grades and knowledge, I don't think we're ever going to come up to a conclusion. But the good news for you today is this test that I gave you is not going to be graded. But it does beg the question, will you someday stand before God and he says, get out your number two pencil and a piece of paper. I've got a test for you. One day Moses was taking the place of Peter at the pearly gates, they claim. And so people were coming in, and while Moses was in charge, he decided that he was going to give a quiz to everybody that entered into the pearly gates. And so one guy came up, and he said to this crowd of which this guy was a part, I want you all to list the Ten Commandments, and list them in any order that you want it. They all passed by with their pieces of paper, but this one gentleman gave it to Moses, and he looked down, and this is what he saw. 2, 3, 6, 10, 8, 4, 5, 9, 2, 1, 7. He listed them in any order. Which goes back to the question, will God wink at our ignorance? To tell you the truth, my friends, there is going to be a test. It may not involve your number two pencil, but it may be more important. There may be a test on what you learned and on how you applied what you learned. Yes, we know Christ went to the cross and he forgave all of our sins. I suspect ignorance is one of those. But this morning, for the few moments that we share together, let us just come to be prepared for what could be your final exam. That is of the utmost importance. Well, the first thing I want to say is, yes, you are going to be tested on this book. May not be written. May not involve trivia knowledge. You may not have a quiz sheet. You may not have a pencil. But you're going to be given a number of life story problems in this life that you have to solve with that knowledge. You remember those? I hated those word problems. They would go something like this. If the Delaware River is 7 miles wide and Washington's guys in the boat could row at 2 miles per hour. What color is Washington's horse? And we would scratch our head and say, I can't make sense of all of that. Well, don't fall asleep this morning, Eutychus, out here. So let's think about this for a moment. Life, in a lot of ways, comes to us with challenges and with problems, and it becomes, in a real sense, a test for us. Not necessarily as we stand before the pearly gates, but as we stand here today. And some people in life are going to study real hard, and they're going to pass with no problem, and others are not going to want to study and know what God says about how to live this life, and they're going to struggle to get through it. So for Christians, what we need to know is, again, this book, the Bible. We study it because we want to gain knowledge, but not just for the sake of the ability to stand up and recite an answer to a quiz question, but we want to learn it so we have the ability to know what it is that God wants us to do, so as we face the test in life, we'll know the answer. This morning, our scripture is going to be found over in the book of Deuteronomy. So I do want you to find your Bibles and join me in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to skip around in what we're going to be going through in this 6th chapter. So we're going to begin this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Well, he starts off by saying God is one. God is the one. Not only is God one, God is the only one. And then he says we are to love God with all our heart. Well, we could debate a long time as to what the definition of heart is in terms of its meaning with the Hebrew in the day in which this may have been penned. But we all understand that the heart is the basis of the place of our emotions. It's the very depth of us. And he's saying, love us from that depth of the heart. And then he says, love the Lord with all your soul. We view that as our very being. That's our life breath. That's the existence that makes us tick. And then he says we are to love the Lord with all of our strength. We know what that means. With all of our might, with all of our abilities, with all of our force, with all of our energy. But it isn't enough to just learn these verses here in Deuteronomy and think you're going to be okay if Moses or Peter asks you that question. What God wants us to do is to learn these so that we might keep them. Keeping the word is a lot different than knowing the word. So listen up. The world is coming to an end someday. And some of you may ask me the question, is what I'm going to say this morning going to be on the test? And obviously I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. Sometimes my teachers would give me a hint. Remember that? As if to say, as they're going through in review before the big test, put a star beside this. The likelihood is the star beside that meant that's going to be on the exam. I think God's putting a star here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at verses 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Back to these words shall be in your heart. He said that was a command. Learn these words. They're going to be on the test, but another star beside. But not only learn these words, but he says, teach your children. He says, in a minute, teach your grandchildren. Teach anybody's kids, for that matter. Teach yourself and teach all, so that not only this generation, but the next generation will raise up and know what the Word of God is and how it applies to their life and living. Sometimes when we say things over and over again, we have a tendency to remember those things. I remember one time when I was in speech in high school, I got invited to go to the Toastmasters. And they had a contest. You had to recite three things. I don't remember the third, but I do remember that I had to say Lincoln's address there at Gettysburg, 47 years ago, our fathers fought for this continent. I remember that. We had to remember the preamble of the Constitution, the Declaration of it. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do establish, you know. The more we recite things, the more we remember things. So he says not only to teach your children and teach your grandchildren, but he said knowing this is important. And so he wanted the Israelites to bind these words of God on their arms and fix them as frontlets in their forehead. Now, what that literally meant was this. They did write down the Word of God, scriptures, on little bitty scrolls, and they rolled them up and they put them in little leather pouches and they tied them around their forehead. Now, we saw a bunch of people walking around with pouches on their forehead today. We'd probably think that's kind of weird. I mean, how can I relate to that today? I mean, I remember in class that one of my good buddies that I knew decided that he was going to write all his cheat notes on his arm. The problem was, when he went to turn in the test, he handed it to the teacher this way. But you could write the scriptures of Deuteronomy 6 on your arm or on your palm if you want to. They did it in a fashion that they just tied it off. And he also said, I want you to put it on the doorpost of your house. If you ever go into a Jewish home today, you're still likely to see somewhere by the doorbell, there's going to be some little plaque that is a little rolled up ceramic perhaps, or somehow made little clay scroll looking things. And as they walked in, they touched it as a remember that in this house they were going to know that they practiced the old covenant. Now, I don't know whether you want to do that today. This was a big book. But I knew, though, you have no problem with filling your refrigerator with refrigerator art. It wouldn't hurt to put a scripture on it. You even stack stuff and pictures all over the counter in front of your mirror in your bathroom. It wouldn't hurt to have the Bible there as well, or at least a scripture or two. I mean, you can put it on your phone. Richie publishes it in the bulletin every week, how to read the Bible through in the whole year. I bet nobody even looks at it. There's lots of ways in which we can not only read it to our children before they go to bed, we can pray at the table when we rise up, we can teach it throughout our homes, and that's what God is saying here. I want you to put a big star around the Word of God. I want you, as a command, to learn it and to teach it and to make it a part of your life. Fix it, if you would, as an emblem in a place where you will always remember when you come to those life fork roads what the Word of God tells you you ought to do. We need to do that with the Word of God. Jesus over in the New Testament approached this in a little different way, in a much simpler verse. If you have your Bibles, you might turn with me over to John chapter 14, verse 15. He simply says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's kind of what God was saying in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6. If you go a little bit further down, look at verse 23 in John 14. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you love me, I'm going to be in your home. If you love me, I want to be in your home. I want to come and walk with you and lie with you and ride with you in the car to work and to school. That's what maybe God was really saying in Deuteronomy 6 when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Why? Why does God want us to keep His word? I think the answer is simple. Because He knows you need it. I need it. We need it. Remember ever wondering what you're going to do with all the stuff you learned in school? Now, I look back at some of those classes. Even some of the classes I took in college, I'd say, that's totally worthless. I haven't used slide rule ever since I graduated from college, but I learned how to use it in college. Because that was the technology of the day. But I can tell you, when I go to the grocery store and I can see some kid trying to make change and not being able to count, I look back and I say, I thank God to my third grade teacher. If you got to write a letter to Aunt Phoebe or an email or something, and it comes out and it looks like, go back and thank your English teacher. Yeah, you pick up those pills and you turn on the back and you read all that stuff. Thank your biology teacher that you understand what it is that you are reading. Yes, somewhere along the way, we did learn something. And what we learn from Scripture will also benefit us. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not even a teacher. I mean, I'm just sitting out here learning. How many times would you come across someone in your life that is having a difficult problem, and you can relate to them something you learned in one of our Bible studies or something? How many times have you run across somebody who is in need of comfort or emotional lifting up, and you can recall a scripture and you can help lift them up from what you learn? Yes, if you keep studying, you will learn a lot more than you think. I'm impressed. Richie said about half the people that are sitting in this room on this Wednesday night. The group is growing. As we're going through, same thing Sunday night, we're going through verse by verse. We're understanding what it is that God said and the context in which He said it, and we're making application to that today. And we are coming away with our mouths and chins open saying, wow, I didn't know that was in there. There's so much to know and so much to learn. Let's go back to our Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's pick it up now in verses 1 through 3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord with your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. When I was really young, and I did good on a paper, I may have gotten a gold star. A little bit later, maybe it was an A or an A plus on a piece of paper. Maybe written in red so that it would stand out. Maybe it was a diploma upon successfully concluding either high school or college. The rewards are too numerous to mention that you may achieve in life by making stepping stones of your knowledge. And I guarantee you that if you study the Word, if you really get into putting it into your heart, if you apply your strength, your energy, your might, if it becomes a part of your brain, your soul, you start to live out the commandments of God, you will find yourselves truly, truly blessed. There are some things we need to keep in God's Word. We need to keep the appointment of our Lord at the Lord's table. We did earlier. The example of the early church is that they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Yeah, they heard preaching. Paul may have got long-winded, as preachers have a tendency to do. We need to keep His plan of salvation. including being immersed, baptized for the remission of our sins. We need to keep the church. We need to keep his name, Christian. That's the only proper name you find in Scripture. Not all the stuff the world has added to or subtracted from it. We need to keep his directives and his laws of Christian living. They define for us the black and white of morality and decency and courtesy. God knows we need to keep all of these words because we need them. Let's conclude over in the book of Mark, chapter 12. A few verses beginning in verse 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." Doesn't that sound like Deuteronomy 6? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Yeah, we can take the whole Bible, and they will fit in these two commandments. It's about loving God. We love God, we're going to love one another. Treat one another with decency and respect. He gave this to a person who bounced back to God and bounced back to Christ, confirmation that yes, you are the one and only God, and that we ought to love the God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and that we ought to love our neighbor. Look how he responds in verse 34. To that person he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Someday you may stand before those pearly gates, and I pray that the Lord will say, you have kept those two great commandments. You've loved me with your heart, your soul, and with your strength. And you've loved one another. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Will this all be on the test? I don't know. But I sure place a star beside it. He calls you to come. Listen to his word. Faith, you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sins and change the direction that you're living and turn towards obedience to his word? Are you willing to confess that faith? Before God, before us. You're willing to be baptized. That's the point at which your sins are removed. Rise to walk as a new creature in Christ. No, we're not going to be perfect. But we've got to try. Come if you will as we stand and sing.